Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I'm glad to be here, Pastor Rader. I've enjoyed coming up here to church. My name is J.D. Howell. I have my family here, my wife Doreen, Johnny, James, and Danielle. And we are from downstate across the bridge. And your pastor came and preached for us this summer. What a blessing. What a help. I pray for this church every Sunday morning. I pray for you every Sunday morning, Pastor. And I did not know there was a great divide between downstate and the Upers. What a blessing. I guess it is a difference from downstate to here, the Upers, a different place, right? Mr. Debbie, you mentioned that to us as well. And I didn't realize it until I went to the zoo. We have a zoo down there in Saginaw, the Saginaw Children's Zoo. And a lot of, you know, just a few animals, three or four. And you have, I guess, have a zoo in the Sioux Locks, the Garland Wildlife Zoo. Maybe you didn't know this. And but if you go, you're going to find a little difference there. Down there in Saginaw, if you go to the zoo next to the cages, the bear and the wolf and the alligator that we have there, you'll see a little sign there, and it'll be the Latin name, you know, and a little kind of the lineage of where you can find this animal and its habitat and all the details about the animal. But not in the Sioux, not up in the Upper Peninsula, no. You go to the zoo up in the Sioux, you see the same cage, the same animals, but next to it, a little sign, and there's a recipe there how you can eat that thing. And and enjoy the wolf with, so just a little different. But I'm just kidding. Oh man, make the whole crowd angry at me before I start this morning. I'm glad to be here. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your love for Jesus Christ and for the lost and for souls. This is a ministry that I view to be like-minded, and the people here, thank you so much for telling people about Jesus Christ. And not being in a place where you're trying to push people away, but bring them to know Jesus Christ. That is the answer. That is the answer in 2023. I pray for our government. I hope for all of those things, but the answer is Jesus Christ. And only by His blood and His salvation to a lost soul can we see change around us. And I don't know about up here, but down in Saginaw, we have people who need Jesus Christ. And every single week, we give the gospel of Jesus Christ out. If you have your Bibles open, please, to Colossians chapter number 3. I want to be helped to you this morning, and I will speak quickly. It is my kryptonite in life. I will try to slow down for you, but it won't happen. I get excited about the Word of God, and it's just the way it is. You'll appreciate your pastor, I'm sure, but I will speak quickly. We'll try to pack a lot in. Colossians chapter 3. I love the book of Colossians. Pastor was there this morning in Sunday school briefly. The book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church about how Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Book of Colossians, though written to the church at Colossae, Paul writes about how Jesus Christ is the head of the believer. And throughout the book of Colossians, we'll see over and over the thought that Jesus Christ is supposed to be the priority in your life and in my life. I would say the theme of verse for Colossians is found in verse in chapter number 1, where the end of it says that in all things He, that is Jesus Christ, verse 18, that in all things He might have the preeminence, the priority, that in everything that I do, I'm at work, I'm at home, I'm driving down the road, I'm at Walmart, I'm on vacation, whatever I'm doing, that in all things, Jesus Christ would be number 1, first place. Chapter 1 talks about the person of Jesus Christ. He's a creator. By Him all things consist. Chapter 2, if we were to take the time, we'd find out of the problems of a life apart from Jesus Christ. He says, beware, because Paul says, beware. There's a lot of things that will try to trick you and deceive you and to pull your attention away from Jesus Christ. But remember that in all things, He's supposed to be number one. We'll try that again. That in all things, Jesus is supposed to be number one. Yeah, good, all right. In chapter 3, where we'll find our text this morning, we find the practical application of what it looks like with the life of Jesus Christ. Look in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. You know that sometimes what's on the label is not what's inside. I order a lot of things from Amazon. A few years back, my kids love soccer. They like soccer. Your pastor, you love football. It's okay. It's all right. I forgive you. I ordered this big soccer net for the backyard. It was a good price, and it came rather quickly, and I got the box, and I said, well, this feels pretty light. Didn't realize the net would feel about 2.5 pounds. Well, gonna surprise the kids. They weren't home yet. They were driving home, and I thought, as a dad of the year, I'll get this thing set up. They'll come home. The kids will, you know, say, wow, Dad, throw their arms around my neck, and my wife will fawn over me and the family, and then the award will come, right? And they'll give me, you know, banners and fireworks. Till I opened the box, it said a soccer net, and on the inside, some dirty, rotten rascal had packed a Nerf gun. And I was holding in my hands a $220 Nerf gun. What was on the outside was not on the inside. Now, that day, I was not happy. I was not pleased. I was not smiling. But that was quickly resolved. The problem that we face at times in life is what's on the outside doesn't match what's on the inside. We may claim the name of Jesus Christ, but here in this passage, we're going to find out some things that ought to be on our label if we claim the name of Jesus Christ. Now, this passage starts in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ." This is giving us a distinction. There are those who have believed in Jesus and those who have not believed in Jesus. And my friends, it's the most important decision anyone can ever make, to take their faith and put it in Jesus Christ, to believe that Jesus Christ is, number one, the Son of God. He says that I am, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is God, all right? He not just was God or came to imitate God, he is God. To believe in Jesus is to believe he is God. To believe in Jesus is to believe that he came and did what he said he would do. The Bible says, he says, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. He said, I come to if I then be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of the world, was buried, like he told about it, and rose again the third day. Amen. To believe in Jesus is to believe that he is God, that he did exactly what he said that he would do, die on the cross for the sins and rise again. And then to believe in Jesus is to believe that if we ask him to save us, he will do just that. Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You realize that no one who has come to Jesus has ever been pushed aside? Never find a busy signal? Anyone who has come to Jesus Christ asking for salvation has gotten it. Whether they're old or young, rich or poor, smart, not smart, whether they're from downstate or from across the bridge. Anyone can come to Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter what church your parents went to. It doesn't matter what you do, except you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ, I pray that today you'll put your faith in Jesus Christ. It's easy, as easy for a child to do it as Gary last week, a week and a half ago now, in that hospital room. It wasn't some big ordeal. We didn't have to bring the whole church over, just me and him and the deacon and his daughter and mom and his wife. But maybe you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're here on a Sunday morning. You say, Pastor, I'm in church this morning. And praise the Lord for that. Hope you're back tonight in your place. But sometimes when you interact with a Christian, you don't get Jesus Christ. I was in college and my roommate's name was Tepei Sato. He was from Japan. And Tepei was here and there, and his parents sent him a box. Inside this box were these bag of snacks. And Tepei got these snacks, and he goes, oh, JD, these are delicious. I look at these little snacks, and they are what appear to be those little silver fish you see in a fish tank that are dried, and slivers of almonds. He said, JD, you want to try some? It's from Japan, and he had spoken broken English. My best friend Dave was there next to me that day, and so I grabbed a big handful, I shoved them in my mouth, and they were the nastiest thing I'd ever tasted. They were terrible. But Dave's looking at me, he goes, JD, how are they? And I hatched a plan. Oh, these are awesome. All the while trying to not gag and throw up in my mouth. Oh, I swallowed them. I said, Dave, you gotta try these things. Oh, okay. Dave, big guy, football player, center in football. Man, grabbed a big old handful, threw it, put him in his mouth like this, and I'd never seen a man run so fast to the trash can and throw up. And that moment was worth every bit of it. But what I tasted, what I looked at, didn't go back and forth. The Bible says here, if ye then be risen with Christ, you're going to have some things that will be displayed so that when someone interacts with you, they see Jesus Christ. Yeah. Let's look at the passage. We're going to find these four characteristics this morning, very quickly this morning. Number one, we find in verse number one, if ye then be risen with Christ, number one, seek those things which are above. Someone who has Jesus Christ as a priority, someone who has Jesus Christ on the label, number one, will have the right direction. Right direction. Seek those things which are above. Maybe you run and maybe you don't. Maybe you drive and maybe you don't. But if you ever went on a run, perhaps you've gone on the wrong route. You ever been driving? Maybe you made a wrong turn. My brother was coming back from South Carolina a few years back with my mom. There's a place there in Tennessee where I-75 jogs north and it splits off. I think that's, is that 80 sitting right across there? Or 40? I think 40 is going across right there. My mom fell asleep. My brother was driving, was not paying attention, and they woke up 2.5 hours west. Instead of 2.5 hours north. You ever taken a wrong turn before? It's not happy. It's not good. It's frustrating. It's annoying. But I find in life that sometimes we are headed toward the wrong things. Now, you can make excuses to me this morning. You can make excuses to your wife or your husband, to your mom or your dad, your brother, your sister, to your pastor, to your Sunday school teacher. You can make excuses to everyone else, but you can't make excuses to the Lord. And you know if you're headed the right direction. You can be saved and headed the wrong direction. You can be seeking those things which are not above, but which are down here. You can be looking for things that are monetarily fulfilled. You can be searching after money. You can be searching after fulfillment and satisfaction on this side. But someone who has Jesus Christ as a priority is going to be headed the right direction. We love to hike as a family. A few years back, we were in the Appalachian Mountains. My mother-in-law and father-in-law lived there. We went for a hike. Supposed to be a 3-mile hike. Danielle was 4 at this time, so about 6 years ago. We went on this hike in somewhere, and I am challenged outdoors. Confession time. Some of you can tell north, south, east, and west, just internal GPS, not Howell. No, tell me left or right. Now don't use buildings, all right? Don't say go to that red barn. And, well, it used to be a red barn, but they painted it white. There was a tree there, but they cut down the tree. No, just tell me left or right. But outside, go north, I have no clue. So I'm in the woods, and we're hiking. And we're having a grand old time as a family. We're going. But I'm like, we should have been there by now. 3.5 miles will take you, maybe roughly, maybe 30, maybe an hour if you're making decent pace. Hour into it, we had nowhere near where we're supposed to be. 2 hours in, we're nowhere near. 9 miles later, 9 miles later, we ended at our destination. Listen, don't be a 9-mile Christian. Seek those things which are above, the right direction. We're looking for those lost who need Jesus Christ. I want God to have the glory at home. God to have the glory in my life when I'm at work. God to have the glory that in every way, in every place, that Jesus Christ would be magnified. Which way are you headed? And you can be here and you can look nice and smile and have your Bibles open and be headed the wrong direction. But someone who has Jesus Christ as a priority will have a certain direction, and that's toward Him right there. But also notice in this passage, not only do we have a direction, we have the right desire. Look in verse number 1 and verse number 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I have a question for you, my friend. What do you desire? Let me break it down, though. I'm a simple guy. I'm from below the bridge. Can I come down off the steps? Is that okay?
Yeah, you're okay.
Okay, all right. I won't stand on your pew. Now, I understand this verse now more. Some of you will be with me when I get there to this illustration. More now than I did 15 years ago. Because my son is 14. And when my wife was pregnant, she had this thing called cravings. Some of you can identify. Now, my wife was wonderful, different, but wonderful. She didn't have a lot of cravings, but I remember one night in particular. I said, honey, do you need anything? And she said, Pastor, she goes, yes, I want Arby's. When she said Arby's, it was not just I want Arby's, it's I want Arby's and I want it right now. And nothing else will do. Now just think, if I wasn't the dad of the year and husband of the year, I could have driven to Taco Bell. It's right across the street from Arby's there in Bridgeport. I could have brought back a couple tacos. Hey, honey, here's some tacos. And you know what my pregnant wife would have done? I don't know, and I don't want to find out. I could have driven down to Lucky Steakhouse about 8 miles south of there. I could have brought her back a nice ribeye steak. Honey, here's a steak. You know what my wife would have done? I don't want to find out. Because at that moment, she said, I want, help me, Arby's. You know what I did? I went to Arby's. I'm no fool. I went to Arby's. And I was glad to go to Arby's. I would have gone to any other places that's what she wanted. You see, there are certain things that God wants, his desire. I want my desires to line up with his desires. It's not a burden. It's not trouble. I'm glad to do it. And the Bible says, if Jesus Christ is a priority, you will set your affection. You will set your likes. You will set your cravings. You'll set your desires on things above. What makes you happy? What just wets your whistle? I love Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You taste Jesus Christ, you find out he's good. Amen. You see what Christ does in your life, you find out he does things well. You see his blessings and you find out that he blesses well. Sure, his timing, different than my timing. His vacation plans, different than my vacation plans. But I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade it. I want my desires to be set on his things, not on my things. I've run a number of races. I'm not a great runner, a very fast runner, but I've run a number of races. Remember the first time that I ran a half marathon, a little over 13 miles. I trained for it. I had the gear for it. I'd put a number of miles in. I knew the course well. I'd run the course, the 10K course, number of times. But if you ever run farther, and I've got a buddy who runs ultra marathons, 100 milers, and so I'm nowhere near that, all right? He's crazy. He's crazy. He's a pastor. In fact, he comes down, Pastor Chris Todd. He comes up here for the Opaz, meeting. But this half marathon was 13 miles. It was the longest race I'd run at this point. So I show up to the race, and I'm kind of like in the groove for the race. Right? I had the shorts I wanted, the shirt I wanted, and the shoes I wanted, laced just like I wanted. I had a pair of AirPods in, just kind of getting ready for the race. And I go by the other people running the half marathon, and they're all similarly focused. They're locked in. They're stretching. Some are walking. Some are running. There's not many words spoken, but just unspoken words. Looks here, looks there, looks over there. As you're just like, we're preparing for this race. This race was called Run for Your Heart, and it was put on by St. Mary's Hospital there in Saginaw. It was sponsored by none other than Tim Hortons. You heard Tim Hortons. And there by the starting gate was a table set up. And there was Tim Hortons coffee and Tim Hortons donuts. Kind of defeats the purpose, you think. I'm here with the number of people running the half marathon that day. They all different color. We had different color bibs on, numbers. And I look over at the donut table, and there's a number of runners slamming down donuts before a race. This catches my eye. I walk over to the table, I look, and you can tell by the numbers, the color numbers, what race they're running. And there was not a single half marathon, 13-mile runner at that table eating donuts. There was not a single 10K, 6.2-mile runner slamming down donuts. But there were a number of those people running a 5K, a 3-mile race that day, slamming down the donuts for the race. And I mean not just one donut and not just two, but I'm talking about just shoveling donuts in their mouth. And I look there with disdain. I got to be honest, a little disdain. My goodness, how can you run a race throwing donuts down there like that? My friends, I wonder as a Christian, how many times in our race of the Christian life, where Paul says, I've run the race. How many times we're throwing down the donuts of life that do nothing more than just slow us down the race. the desires. And sure, for a moment, they taste real good. But about a mile in, you're going to be regretting it. 2 miles in, you're going to be wishing you didn't have any donuts. 5 miles in, you'll be walking. 7 miles in, you're calling the cab to pick you up. And there are Christians who wonder, man, why is life so hard? Why is life difficult? Why doesn't it seem to go as well for me as for someone else? You know why? Because you're slamming down donuts. Takes me to the next point. Not only is there a desire, but there's a denial. Look in verse number 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. My friends, there are some things in our life that will be there if we love God, and there will be some things that will not be there if we love God. You don't understand that a yes to one thing is a no to something else. A yes to God is a no to the flesh. A yes to God is a no to the devil. A yes to my flesh, though, is a no to God. A yes to one thing is a no to something else. You ever mixed up ingredients when you're making something? I enjoy baking on the side a little bit. I don't know if that ruins your impression of me now, but I like smoking and grilling. I don't mind cooking. It just, you know, it's what I do. You grab the salt instead of the sugar. That makes a mess. My friends, what ingredients should not be in our life today? Is there some anger that has no part in the Christian life? Is there some lust? Has no part in the Christian life. If God is my priority, there's some things that I'm going to have to say no to. There's some donuts I'm going to have to say no. I can't eat that. I can't take from that because my priority is Jesus Christ. That in all things He might have the preeminence. So that I can run this race well. So that my label matches the outside, matches the inside. Ways to say yes and ways to say no. Gentleman in our church years ago now got right with God. God had touched him about some music in his life, and he got rid of all the music except for one part of it. That time was a CD. He kept one. Wouldn't you know it, in just a few weeks, that music that he knew God wanted to get rid of was back in his life. You know why? Because he didn't really say no. He didn't give God everything. He didn't put out what shouldn't put out. Listen, there are things in my life that I'll have to say yes to and things I'll have to say no to. You know, coming to church means that I say no to sleep. I preach Sunday mornings, and every Sunday afternoon I take a nap if I can. I take a nap because I get wore out preaching Sunday morning. And there are times I wake up from my nap and I do not want to get back out of bed to go preach again Sunday night. Now, I love preaching. I love our church. I love our people. But I love my bed. Don't look at me like I'm a pagan. You know exactly. I love my pillow. Spent good money on my pillow. All right? You know what I'm feeling. And you're sitting there, and that old devil comes back in your flesh. Listen, you know what? Just put it off a little bit longer. No. I have to say no to myself and yes to Jesus Christ. You know, there are some times that I don't want to treat people nicely. Maybe you don't have people in your life like I have people in my life. There are some people who are annoying. Oh, help me. Anybody else know an annoying person in their life? Come on, put up there if you know it. All right, do not point and say point. You know, we still have to walk in kindness. You know why we walk in kindness? You know why? Because Jesus Christ is a priority. Because He's on the inside. What's inside has to come out. That's why we walk in kindness. You see, we have to say no, and we have to say yes. Last thing is this. Look in your scripture, please. Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. You see, when Jesus Christ is our priority, number 1, we'll have the right direction. Number 2, we'll have the right desires. Number 3, we'll say no to and have the right denials. Number 4, we'll have the right destination. Understand that because I'm going to be with God forever, I'm going to live differently on this side. Go back to that race of 13 miles. I did not wake up that Saturday morning and say, I'm going to run a 13-mile race. I don't know if I could have done that. But I know that way back, three months earlier, I said, I'm going to run 13 miles. And because of the final destination, I lived differently along the way. I made different choices along the way. I put some miles in. I sweated a little bit. I worked a little bit. It was different because of my final destination. And because I'm going to be with Jesus Christ forever, I want to live differently on this side. Maybe you've met a Christian who doesn't seem to live any differently. They seem to have the same direction as everyone else. They care about another vacation home and another boat and a bigger truck and a bigger retirement fund. They care about their own time. They care about doing whatever they want to do. There's no denial. And it seems as if though they have the same destination, they've made no other decisions and choices to live differently. I read a story about two paddle boats who left Memphis about the same time, traveling down the Mississippi River. As they traveled side by side, like any men, they began to make some challenges, exchange some words. And before you know it, competition ensued between the two paddle boats. The boats roared through the deep south. At this time, when this story was written, they used coal and steam. The steam was puffing out the top of the boats, but one boat began to lag behind because there wasn't enough fuel for it. There had been plenty of fuel and coal for the trip, but not enough for a race. As the boat dropped back further and further, one sailor said, well, we're not going to lose today. He began to grab things in the boat. He grabbed the cargo. They had some tables, and he threw the tables inside the burner and burned the tables. They had some chairs, and they burned the chairs, and they found anything they could. They burned it all up along the way, and they ended up winning the race. But they burned up their cargo. When they got to their destination, they couldn't deliver with their task. You say they weren't called on that Mississippi River to win the race. They were called to deliver cargo. And they forgot about their final destination and burned up things along the way. My friends, we're called. For the risen with Christ, we're called to be with God forever. We're going to live differently. What's on the label of your life? First Baptist Church, we have a pie auction every year. Our ladies make great pies. Great pies. Before I was pastor, I got to be a pie judge. So one time there was a pie sitting there. It was a pumpkin pie. At least that's what she said it was. Had a greenish hue to it. I was with Pastor Scott Callen. We were judging, and he said, well, J.D., why don't you try this pie first? I'm not real bright, as you know. So I took a bite of this pie, and I know she said it was a pumpkin pie, but when I tasted it, it tasted like cigarette smoke and dog poo. I wouldn't know what it tastes like, but that's what I imagined. It was disgusting. It was terrible. It was horrible. It was like no other pie that I ever want to try again. And though they said it was pumpkin pie, it was trash. Somehow that pie found its way into the dumpster. I'm not sure what happened exactly. But sometimes, my friend, this world interacts with Christians. We claim to be Christians. We claim the name of Jesus Christ. But when they taste of us, they don't taste the sweetness of Jesus Christ. They don't find the right direction. They don't find the right desires. They don't find the right denials. And we wonder. We wonder why people don't like Christians. We wonder why they don't want to be a Christian. Because the label of our life doesn't match up with Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.